Thanks so much. Those of you who were here a couple weeks ago when I gave sort of introductory talk, we ended up talking quite a bit about story structure. And I'm absolutely delighted that Amy Berg has agreed to come up and chat with you guys for the next hour or so. Amy is a TV writer. I first met her when she was working on one of my favorite science shows for Sci-Fi called Eureka. She's since worked on Fringe. She's worked on Person of Interest. She has a new show airing right now called Counterpart, which is all about parallel universes. It's definitely worth a watch. And
I'll talk about it, don't worry. Right? I'll talk about it, don't worry.
She'll be probably talking quite a bit about it, because talk about a complicated story structure for that one. I'm just going to give it over to Amy and let her take over from here, because she knows her stuff.
I was going to give you a little bit of background about me, but Jen already has. Yes, I'm a writer, producer, showrunner. I work in film and television. As a showrunner, I sort of supervise all aspects of production, pre-production, production, post-production, all of it. I've written a little bit of everything, I think, at this point. I think I've written for every genre. You could probably name a genre. Go, name a genre. I've written for it.
Science fiction.
A ton. I've written westerns, I've written soap operas, I've written kids' television. I started out writing for Nickelodeon. But Counterpart is my latest and I think greatest, which is on Stars now, premiered 3 weeks ago. It's J.K. Simmons. He plays a low-level cog at a spy agency in Berlin, and he discovers that the secret the agency is keeping is that there is a parallel dimension, and the building he works in was built on top of the doorway between the two worlds. So it's basically a Cold War analogy set in present day. And instead of U.S. versus the Soviets, it's all the tension is between the two dimensions, the two worlds. And that is called an operational theme, and we will get to that in a second. So I guess the goal of today is to sort of, not to teach you guys everything I know about film and TV and story structure, because we have a whole hour and that would take about 20 minutes. I don't know much. It's all, every day is a learning experience, so it's, we let life sort of inform everything. I can't say that I'm an expert, but I've certainly been doing it a long time, so if that qualifies me to talk to you today, that's why I'm here. I think the goal is to make this a conversation about process, because I think process is something that you guys understand, and hopefully we can collaborate by the end on sort of coming up with a theoretical model, which you guys also understand, for maybe a invented television series idea, and maybe we can sort of break some story on that craft a narrative, as they say. What I do is an awful lot like what you guys do, which is we participate in thought experiments. That's the nature of what we do. You guys answer questions about the nature of the universe. We answer questions about the nature of humanity. Our job is to sort of to look inward, craft narratives about who we are as a society and who we are as people and what got us to where we are. And the methodology that we use is very similar to what you guys do as well. Instead of focusing on things, we focus on ourselves. And with that in mind, I want to do something that you guys might relate to. Forgive me for my handwriting. You guys are material scientists, many of you, I have been told, so you know what this is. And you also know structure. Properties, forgive me if I miss one. Processes and performance. What does this have to do with story? I will tell you. Your design paradigm is basically the same thing as a story paradigm. Structure, we talk about in terms of acts. Now I'm going into lowercase, and now it's just really weird. Acts, scenes, and beats. Acts in a film, there's usually three acts in a film. In a television show, it could be no acts, if depending on what you're working for. If it's on Amazon or Netflix or one of the premium cable, you don't have commercials anymore, so you don't write an acts, really. In a movie, for instance, or a TV show that's on broadcast, you have acts that lead into sort of act breaks and commercials. And then you break those down to scenes, and then you break those down into beats. And beats are basically moments. It could be a character moment, it could be a plot moment, but something that moves the story along, essentially. And then you have properties, which I think of in terms of plot. So, physical, chemical, dynamics, right? Chemical for us is psychological. So, you know, what are the things that moves a story along? What are the things that that we have to play with? What do we manipulate to tell a story? Processes, I think, in terms of theme. And these are this is the thing that gives an idea coherence. This is the thing that puts everything together. Everything needs to revolve around the theme. Performance, box office, ratings, critical acclaim, that's how we determine success. But the big thing is no story, no film, no TV show is complete without its sort of basic building block, and that is character. That's how everything should start. And if it starts from somewhere else, you're probably doing it wrong. First and foremost, my job is to illuminate some aspect of the human condition. And we sort of pose and answer questions in the same way that you guys do. What makes us who we are? How does that define our choices? Are we capable of change? To ask and answer those questions, we often look inward, which is why we have a writer's room. We talk about our problems all day. It's why many of us are in therapy. And it's basically our job is to shine a light on the best and worst things about ourselves and everything in between. And to make it relatable, accessible, and hopefully interesting. And that's how we get to character. And there are three questions, basically, in order to create a story that you need to answer in relationship to character. And that is, what do they want? Why can't they get it? And why the F do we care? You answer those three questions, you have a story. And even if the protagonist is not a nice guy, say in terms of Walter White, I assume as material scientists, some of you have enjoyed Breaking Bad. You know, he's a terrible person. But at the end of the day, he chose a life of crime and chose to commit the crimes he did to help his family. And that, at the end of the day, is our operational theme. And that is the nature of theme. And it, at its core, theme is about, is what's the show about? What's the movie about? It's the thing that gives an idea coherence, and it's also expressed through what we call a central conflict. Let me give you an example of a central conflict. Have you guys seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer? I use it as an example because it's pretty much in the title, what the show is about. It's a world in which vampires exist, and there's a girl that's supposed to fight them. The vampires are not the central conflict. The central conflict is, this is a girl who just wants to be normal. She wants to go to a normal school. She wants to have a normal life. But her destiny is something bigger and greater. So how do you fit in when you're one of a kind? That is an operational theme. And that's what, at the end of the day, everything that we talk about has to come back to that. You know, X-Files had something similar. It wasn't about aliens. Fox Mulder lost his sister. And everything that he does is to find an answer to why that happened. Next on the agenda, performance, we don't need to talk about that. But let's talk about plots. I'm going to have to erase these at some point. Plot is nothing more than a series of choices that your character makes. That's all plot is. And if you think about it in any other terms, you're doing it backwards. Situations that force characters into making choices that define them. And choices are the things that define character. And plot is nothing more than choice two, you get it. And, you know, protagonists and antagonists, it's basically two people making choices in opposition to each other. And that's how you get conflict. And there's two things required when you think about plot, in the same way that we have these questions. One is a trigger incident, and we'll get to this when we start breaking something. Which, for this, is just you just need to answer the question of why now. Why are we jumping into this story now, of all places? What is the thing that happens to our character, or what does our character do that jump starts a story? That is the trigger incident. And the other is basically obstacles, which is this. Why can't they get what they want? What are the roadblocks that we put in the inside the plot to prevent the character from getting what they want or to complicate their emotional journey? That all being said, I do want to quickly get into turning this into a writer's room. And I hope you guys are game. Basically, what a writer's room does, and this is my job, is to run one, essentially. It's a bunch of people who sit around in a room, sometimes around a table, sometimes on couches. I prefer couches. It's much more relaxed. And we basically talk about nonsense for the first 2 hours, and then the rest of the day we spend talking about story. And it's a open, collaborative environment. Everyone's word is equal to everyone else's. And what we do is we go through all of these. Not necessarily one by one, but we start with character, and we talk about theme. And, you know, we answer every single question that I've talked about. So I would like to open the door for you guys to just think about what kind of story you would like to tell. There's tons of different avenues in which inspiration can strike. You can start with character, which I always prefer to do, but you could also start with a setting or a world. You can start with a central conflict. You can start with a scene or an image that you have in your mind that you want to explore in some way. There's a lot of different avenues to explore. Yes.
Okay, so I'm often thinking about a story where you have a smart and capable but naive person arriving on their first day in a large organization, which could be their first day at college, their first day on the job, their first day in the army, their first day wherever they're new in the place,
right,
the adventures that come to them. A little bit like Harry Potter at Hogwarts.
I gotcha.
The particular story I'm thinking of is of a young woman who attended a historically black college that had a partnership with a large state institution. So she spent two or three years in the small college where she was catered to, taken care of, and all the classes were tiny and very, and the professor gives you this cell number to say, call me and ask me questions.
Yeah.
And she lands in the big institution and she's sitting in a lecture of 300 and there's no personal attention. None of the white men who represent the large fraction of the engineering students that she's joining pay her any attention, and she has to make her way. And she made her way, and she ended up with a PhD, and she's a faculty member now at a large institution.
Is this you?
That kind of
story. Is this you?
It has Sex in the City, it has A Different World, it has The Mind-Body Problem, which is also a story of a young, naive person showing up on a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that.
Okay. I think what's great about that idea is that it does have a trigger incident. There's a reason that we're jumping into this story now, which is she finds herself in a new place. Everything else you said is backstory. So let's start from there. A woman?
In an engineering program, large state school in the South.
Okay, we don't need to be that specific.
Well, I'm thinking of her actual life.
Right. Okay. Let's take a step back before we take a step forward. Let's open the door for some other ideas. What are other situations where there is a person in a brand new environment and they're having to deal with whatever comes with the new setting? Anybody?
An immigrant.
Yeah, moving to another country.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that sparks me to that idea is it's very timely, which is something that we always think about when in terms of telling stories. How does it resonate with today's society? I think that's really interesting. Can we combine the two? Is there a woman who is an immigrant coming to a school in the United States for the first time? What does that mean? Is that you?
Well, long time ago, yes.
Okay.
Well, when you talk about immigrant, I think there are various types of immigrants. It is the person who comes without a job and trying to find. There are also people who come with their eyes open willingly, and yet it can be very, very difficult. So it's. What I'm trying to say is that, sometimes you say immigrant, you think the person who comes here, I don't know, from South America with no work.
Yeah.
And that's one type of immigrant.
Like Elon Musk. South Africa, but yes.
But it's not always like that, and it can be complicated even when it's not like that. So.
Exactly.
What if we're in a university setting, it could be the graduate student teaching fellow who's the immigrant.
Who was brought in?
Who befriends the new undergraduate? Or
very fixated on this woman.
But the concept is the same, that people are coming from one social milieu into another one where they don't know the rules.
Right.
And they don't look like they fit in.
Right. I'd rather make her the lead and have this person be someone that's already been there, and maybe she's trying to show her the ropes, even when it's only relatively new to her. I just think it's a more interesting, organic in to the story. I love the timeliness of it, as I said. And I think there's a lot of different levels that we can apply to this woman to make her really, really interesting. So let's think about that. We're starting from character. Good job, everybody. It's my favorite thing. All right. immigrant woman. Spell it right. New school. So what's her background? Where is she from? Let's be specific.
Nigeria.
Okay. Okay. So she's Nigerian. What has brought her to the States? I assume we're talking here as her final destination. Doesn't necessarily need to be here, but we're here. What brings her to the United States? How did she get here?
Scholarship.
Scholarship?
Biomedical engineering, something that's sympathetic, but...
She went to Oprah's school, right? Is what we're... She went to Oprah's school? So she...
Such a person would not think of herself as an immigrant.
What's that?
Such a person will not think of herself
as an immigrant, if she's someone who would...
If she's somebody who can...
Yeah, coming for a scholarship, yeah.
A scholarship for school, if she thinks of somebody who just came here for a few years. She doesn't think of herself as an immigrant.
Yeah, none of us do.
Mm-hmm. No.
Exactly. That's why...
Yeah.
We're resident aliens.
Just resident aliens.
Which we become later on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's where it's a big debate, but I think it's true for many people, right? I mean, I don't know, I'm from France, for example, but I know that in France there's this big wave of immigration from Northern Africa, which is not the kind of people we're talking about here, and then would think from the outside would think that, you know, they would represent themselves as immigrants, say, and it's. It took a generation, so the generation that moved actually were always in their mind, it was, for many of them, was okay, it's just temporary and I will go back. You know, it's, I come for work for a few years in France, mm-hmm. and I will go back, and they never, well, for most of them, never went back. So I don't think even, you know, if you're coming without a job, or you would feel yourself as an immigrant.
Right.
It's a very rare feeling, right?
I agree.
Because it means that you already accepted that you dropped everything behind. You left.
Yeah.
Well, that would only make sense if the place that you left, there's a reason why you can't go back.
Right.
So then you don't come with a scholarship to attend this.
My grandparents came just before World War II, and so when they arrived in the United States and they saw what was happening in Amsterdam, they told their children, we're going to speak English only at home because we are not going back to the Netherlands. So my mother never learned Dutch.
Yeah, but that's different from what...
No, but maybe our person is coming from a place where at home things are so bad, there's no way she's ever going to go back. And she knows that from the beginning.
It's more of a refugee situation.
So you want a refugee, you don't want...
Can I go back to Rob? So in some ways, I think people like us came to school were less of misfits than I think the person that Robin was initially mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Someone coming from a small guy.
Oh, I don't know. Those of us who went to the South certainly felt like misfits, believe me.
Sweet, where did you go?
University of Florida in Gainesville.
Oh, wow.
Maybe in Italian and
from Northern Italy, by the
way. All right, well.
Another possibility might be there are a lot of highly trained immigrants or refugees, if you want, who end up doing, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Doctors, lawyers. Yeah,
that's actually very interesting.
Yeah. Taxi drivers. Mm-hmm. That's a very difficult situation to deal with.
So
a highly qualified person that ends up in the taxi, does his way back to Mexico, for example.
Yeah, I had my first ever cleaning woman was a lawyer.
Came from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
A highly qualified person ends up somewhere in an administrative position at the university and wants to like study or something like that or do research. It'd be more of a refugee situation as opposed to an immigrant or a scholarship situation.
Right. I love the idea of someone who's coming here, who's already qualified, but can't get a job in their field.
Right.
I mean, the obstacles are just miles long already, just in thinking about this in terms of story. Someone who was trained as a doctor or a scientist of some kind, who now drives a taxi or cleans houses.
Or teaches math in a low-income high school.
Something that would be below their skill set, for sure.
But again, puts them in a social milieu where they don't know the rules.
Right. I think, yeah. Something where they're surrounded by other people is helpful,
but
instead of a taxpayer.
Not because they don't know the rules. I think the rules are actually against them.
Yes. Right?
They're not accepted
yes.
by the group of people on which they're working.
Right.
Which is different. They may know the rules completely well, and it doesn't do any good because they're not accepted.
Yeah, they're not accepted, and they're not presented the opportunities that people here are.
It could be not knowing the rules, but it could be much worse, right? Because knowing the rules, you'll learn them. If people are prejudiced against you from the outset,
yep.
No matter how well you learn the rules, you've got an uphill fight.
That's exactly right.
Keep changing the rules.
That's exactly what happens.
Yep. Considering we're at the KITP, I think she has to be a physicist.
Does she, though?
Well, so the thing is that a PhD in physics is more internationally exchangeable than an MD or a JD. So maybe it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter.
Maybe she's an engineer.
Yeah. I love the idea of being some sort of, perhaps a mechanical engineer, something where she could have been helpful in, you know, designing the universities and colleges and housing where she came from. That might be a way in. She came here hoping to use her trade, perhaps even recruited, which would be even more heartbreaking if you were recruited to come out here, and then the opportunities fell apart. And now she's doing something that is well below her abilities. What do we think she's doing now? What's the situation that we could put her in that would be the most interesting in terms of telling stories?
She's tutoring children from super uber rich families. She's tutoring Trump's kid, right? You know, very wealthy children who live in beautiful mansions, and so she comes from her hovel, you know, to that place.
Right.
To do that work.
Would she be paid well, though?
As well as they pay their other underlings.
Yeah.
So what's, I'm a little lost because I feel like, are we just making a story to make a story? Mm-hmm. Or is there like an objective here? Are we trying to sell tickets? Are we trying to inform the public?
The objective is to sell a television show.
Television show.
Yes.
And do we have any objective other than to make money? Like sell it to make money? Like as scientists, like...
Why else would we do it?
To inform the public about science or like, I mean, like...
I think we want to avoid too much didacticism. I think we want to tell a compelling character-driven story.
Just any compelling story.
Yeah. I think, at the end of the day, I think we want something that resonates, and I think that's what you're looking for. I think that's what attracted me to this idea of an immigrant story, because it is something that resonates, and hopefully there is a girl who could see herself. And that is very, very important as far as what we do. I take it into consideration. There's a lot of people who don't take it into consideration. I think being a woman in a male-dominated field, as my sisters up there know what I'm talking about, is very difficult. And so whatever I can do to sort of shine a light on the lesser-told stories, I do. And I think that's something that we should embrace with this particular idea.
So we're thinking of someone who's like a mechanical engineer,
mm-hmm.
who's like come here from Nigeria.
Yep.
She was originally thought she was going to have like, you know, a really cool job, and something happened, maybe that fell through, maybe the harassment, maybe the funding fell through, any number of things could have gone wrong for that to happen. And now she's in a position that's more humiliating for her, where she's not living up to potential, and she doesn't have the life that she wanted. That's
exactly where we are, yes.
Okay.
How about Washington Powell?
So she wasn't necessarily living in a hovel in Nigeria.
No, she's living in modest.
Mechanical engineer.
That's right. She got trained as a mechanical engineer.
But again, that's backstory. We would only, if we want to see her life as a Nigerian mechanical engineer, we would show it in flashback, which is structurally a thing that we can do. And in telling a pilot story, it's often a very useful tool to help inform the character that we see today.
And why isn't she going back?
No, we are going back. She's not.
Why isn't she going back?
Why doesn't she go back to? That's the question that we need to answer.
Maybe she is a refugee. I mean, that's reasonable for a Nigerian if she was from.
Perfect.
And it's not recruiting.
And she was Igbo, then she might have sought a scholarship to get out of southern Nigeria.
She had to escape something. Everyone needs to escape something.
The barriers to success can be either, in this case, seems to be focusing on misogyny, on prejudice against women. But for many occupations, it's not having a suitable union card.
Yep. It could be something very, very simple. She doesn't have, she's not a part of the trade organization that you need. Yeah.
So she could have been promised a visa which fell through.
Yep.
A work visa.
Oh, so she's now here illegally?
Maybe she came here because she was engaged and then the engagement was off.
No, please.
So,
I like that she's a refugee. I like that she was forced out of her home. By no fault of her own, and no choice of her own, which means she was not recruited. But this is a writer's room. This is a real writer's room, what we're doing right now. It's fantastic. Because it's all about progress and then steps back and then progress and steps back. So she's a refugee. She was a mechanical engineer in Nigeria. She was forced out of her home. And can't go back because of political strife.
And if you're a mechanical engineer in this country, you need to have a license. And that's the union.
Yeah, it's the union.
You don't just walk, you don't just say.
I think that could be a huge obstacle of why she hasn't found success here and why she's doing what she's doing now to just get by.
Well, her degree from home doesn't count.
You may not outside academia.
Okay, so she was forced out. She's here now. What is she doing now? Is there a way that she can, in some very, very menial sense, use her degree?
Like, could she be working at the university in a support role, like helping maintain the building? She's a mechanical engineer. I mean, she can be doing janitorial
service.
Technical.
Or
yeah.
Or in a hospital.
Love it.
What in terms of what she wants?
Yes.
Maybe what she wants is back in Nigeria, meaning whatever it is that she wants is something that can happen back in Nigeria, but she's not going there.
Right. So there's something there that's preventing her from being able to return home. And now she has to make a life here. So how do you do that? That's her driving goal. Okay, so forced out, can't go home, I think is important. For the sake of argument, she is working janitorial duties.
And tutoring at night.
Janitorial duties at university, hospital. What do we like?
University, that's a place we know.
But that sounds so much like that movie. What's the movie?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's plenty of oh, good will hunting.
The refugee from Boston?
In the library. Maybe she's shelving books.
She could also be shelving books, for sure. Okay, so again, this is all backstory. This is what she is doing prior to the start of our pilot. So how do we want to open? Let's jump to what is our inciting incident? How long do we think she's been here? Is there something that happens in her life, in her job, in her personal life, something that happens that sort of kickstarts our story. Why are we jumping into the story now in time?
Is she here legally as a refugee, or does nobody know she's here? I'm curious.
That is an answer to the question of, that could be what triggers everything, someone finds out that she's here. Maybe ICE is coming, knocking on her door. That's interesting. Is it too much of an obstacle too fast?
Yeah.
Is that something that can be a threat that's weighing on her? At any point, she could be taken. I feel like that's going to be the larger threat in series. That could be our story engine for 4 series. But we need something now that's sort of like, why are we jumping in to her life at this particular moment?
But if she had like some eureka moment and she knows how to do something and she feels it could be useful to somebody, but nobody, she doesn't have any credentials, so nobody takes her seriously.
She doesn't have credentials because she's essentially a mechanical engineer, right?
Right.
So has she come here illegally?
You have to have a license to do any engineering in this country. You can't just hang out with Simon and say, I'm an engineer.
And also, it's like, just to get, like, let's say she knows how to land the rockets back on the platform for SpaceX.
How awesome was that, by the way?
The
that was so awesome.
So there could be, like, a problem on campus, like an engineering problem, and she figures out how to solve it and kind of, not a big one, obviously, but just some sort of little thing that has to be solved, and she steps in and solves it. And then has to disappear really quickly because she's not supposed to like be able to be there and do that stuff because she doesn't have a license.
Right. I like it. To make it different from Goodwill Hunting, we're going to say she works in the library.
So you think the opening day of the show is her first day on the job in the library since she's just arrived on the campus?
No, I think she's been here for a little bit. I think she's been here for a little bit, and we need to...
We need a precipitating incident.
Yes, yes.
Something that flushes her out.
Yeah, something that forces her to expose her, you know, her skill set in some way.
The plumbing broke down.
The furnace broke. The
conditioning broke. Can we go a little bigger? We are in California, the land of earthquakes. Is there something happens? Is there a big disaster of some kind, like an earthquake, and someone is trapped in a building, and she needs to, and she can figure out whether it's a load-bearing wall that someone is trapped under. I know words. Is it something like that? Is it something bigger?
She calculates when the next earthquake is.
And she knows the building she works in is not to code.
It could be like an earthquake.
No, that's what happens.
A small tremor, but a wall collapses, and she has, and she can like figure out a way to like get the trapped people out without having the whole structure come down.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah, I love that. I like that we start big. The network will like that too. Earthquake. Saves lives due to her knowledge of structural integrity. Which our story will have soon. This is great. So this is our trigger incident. This is the thing that kickstarts everything. What happens when she saves these lives and someone knows it's her? Is there a professor at the university that discovers her?
An ICE guy, but she's his life she saves.
She's what?
She saves the life of an ICE officer.
She saves the life of someone who could turn her in.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think she might want to avoid. I think maybe it's hitting it a little too on the nose. What we say. What if there are television cameras? What if someone records what she's doing on a cell phone video? And
it shows up on YouTube.
Yeah, and it shows up on YouTube. And ICE comes knocking on the door. That's a problem. That's an interesting problem. Let's take another step back. What is her... She can't go home. She has this degree. She could be doing a lot more with her life than what she's currently doing. What does she want? At the end of the day, does she want to be a mechanical engineer? Does she want to be discovered? In which case, is it just the fact that she's here illegally that's preventing her from doing that? What's keeping her from pursuing, aside from some sort of certificate, what's preventing her from being what she can be?
I think she left a child behind in Nigeria and she's pining.
She could be...
She'd be pining for a child.
It's entirely possible that she's separated from family, and that she has family that's also here somewhere else. They were separated during their migration over, and part of her wanting to be more, wanting to make more money, is to figure out where they are. I think that's an awesome sort of like in-game goal for her. I think a child is heartbreaking as hell, which is good. It feels like she would be more desperate than if it was a brother or a sister. I think her big issue is that she's lacking identity because she's in this new place. She has no sort of, she's not surrounded by anything that's reminds her of home, separated from her family. She wants that connection. She's missing that connection in her life. Becoming this could put her in a position that enables her to track them down. She does not have the resources currently to do that. I think that's something that we could say.
Could she be emptying the trash at the offices of an engineering service?
She could.
Rather than a library, which is...
Well, we're just trying to make it a little different from Good Will Hunting. Which is what we do in the writer's room all the time. It's like, oh, that's great, but that's also that movie. He's a janitor who sort of makes a big sort of mathematical discovery. Yeah.
That's Fermat's last theorem.
Okay, great. So.
How could generate conflict if the guy whose life she saves is a right wing bigot who, or at least. Strongly anti-immigrant, who sets up a conflict between turning her in and being grateful for saving his life.
I love it. Why not? Let's open big. It's a fucking earthquake. There's an earthquake.
Another one?
There's an earthquake. People are panicked. Buildings are falling. People are getting hurt. Some people think it's cool and have their little cell phone cameras out and are streaming it live or recording. There's this woman. We don't yet know, we haven't met, who appears in this video, and she saves the lives of a dozen people. She sees she's being recorded, and she runs. She's the opposite of what you would think. Someone would want credit for something like that, I would think, right? Saves lives and runs. How do we want to meter?
I'm not sure how, but I would have her save lives in some, say, really obvious way that nobody thought about.
Yeah.
That was surprising, so that might later identify.
Yeah, I think you want it to be something unusual that she did. It can't be as simple as pulling persons out of rubble. It has to be solving some sort of
technical problem.
Yeah, some sort of.
So then, someone sees the YouTube video, like a reporter or something, and wants to find out who she is, and finds her.
Tracks her down. Exactly where I was in my head. Well done!
I feel like you're kind of undoing what I typically try to tell people about engineers. Because, like, the thing about engineers is that they try to save people's lives by thinking ahead, right? Like, they try to design the building beforehand so it doesn't fall on the people.
Well, if someone would take her seriously, she could have told them that the building was structurally unsound.
Go back in time and make them not make the building with that kind of rivet, then the people wouldn't get killed.
That's a very good point.
Yes, for sure.
She's looking in the library, right? She must know that there's something structurally unsound about the building. So when the earthquake happened, she knows exactly where the problem is likely to be and how to solve it.
Right.
Gets the people away.
Needn't even be with a building. The real life example of what happened when the earthquake was here is all the books in the library, the containers all fell over and just happened to be on a weekend, so nobody was killed or injured.
But the bookshelves were not stable.
The bookshelves were not suitably tethered to the to the walls. And so the solution, of course, was a major major effort to make sure all the bookcases were anchored.
Were anchored.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's tracked down by a reporter. She avoided the reporter in some way. She doesn't want to be outed, obviously. Does the reporter not let it go?
Is the reporter, let's say, a
handsome gentleman whose eye is caught by this gorgeous refugee woman? Is it a regular character? Is this a regular character in our show? And should it be?
I don't know, I think since she lives alone and she doesn't have family, she often goes to a diner and maybe she confides to the server in the diner who's her confidant.
Also could be a character. But I think this is a person. This is going to be a person in series. Because as you said, reporters don't let it go. He might even find out that she submitted some, you know, claims to the university about the integrity of the buildings.
Oh, it's a really interesting subplot, isn't it? Because that reporter's going to be all over that shit.
Yep. Yep. So now, his interest is piqued now. Who is this woman, and why is she interesting? He's the audience POV. This is why he's an important character. He's the one that is... Yes. So he is one of our supporting cast. Awesome. This is a good, I'm going to copyright this. When we're done. So don't bother. It's a really good story. I would do something a little smaller than an earthquake, but yeah.
Grant number.
Do what?
Just put the KFTP grant number.
There you go, yeah. Copyright. There we go.
So that becomes a mystery that kind of has to be solved over the course of the episode, right?
I think that is our story for the episode, is this reporter's journey to find out who this woman is. And I think we can do some sort of subversive thing where we think at first he's the lead character in the show. And then by the end of the episode, we realize it's her. That's what separates a standard CBS show from something a little more classy. Not that CSI is bad. I love CSI. Okay, this is great. So I think this confrontation with this reporter. I'd rather not think about in terms of acts. Let's just think about scenes. Because the goal is to, later, we can break it down into acts. So we have an earthquake. A woman appears on camera, saving lives through something very specific and unusual, which is the writer's problem. Good luck with that. And she runs when she sees that she's being filmed. She's later tracked down by this reporter who saw it on YouTube, and he wants to know who she is and why she ran. This is a really great start. We have about 80 more scenes to go. What happens next?
Two scenes and one scene.
What happens next? How do we learn about who she is? And I do like the idea of the reporter sort of being our lead for this one episode. Because he's driving for answers, and so are we.
He doesn't know where to look in terms of records and things like that.
Right, he would definitely look her up. Yeah. So maybe his...
Before a certain date.
I think maybe his office is one of our, what we call standing sets. And a standing set is one you build because you know you're going to be back there a lot. So the newsroom he works in, do we think he's a print reporter or do we think he's a face man, as we call them?
Or a radio reporter. What's a face man? What's a
face? Someone who appears on newscasts.
A print.
Print. Old school, I like it. He works for a newspaper. You guys remember those, right?
I feel like she has to have already had a close call with ICE, in order because otherwise there won't be this tension.
That's why she's scared.
Yeah, so we have to have seen that already, or maybe there's a flashback or something.
Or she could, by the end of the episode, tell him about it. And maybe the final scene in the episode, and this is one of the keys in the writer's room, you jump around. And it's always helpful if you know where you're going to land at the end. There could be a final scene in which she's relaying to him at least part of her story, and we see it. Could be really interesting, and that's the moment that we realize she's our lead. I love that.
She wants some international intrigue. Maybe her estranged father was a political leader in her country of origin who, so she's facing some, one of the reasons she wants to hide is because someone who's an enemy of her father might try to track her down and take her hostage or...
He could entirely be someone who is caught up in the political upheaval in her country. And maybe, if the political regime that is taken over there knows that she's here, that's another threat. Not just ICE, but from her home. That could be really interesting.
International political
dangers. Mm-hmm. Also, how the reporter could be helpful at some point down the line. So he goes back to his newsroom. Looks her up. She doesn't exist.
I think also the reporter should not be a prominent, should not have a prominent position yet. I think it should be the story that brings him, makes him famous somehow.
highly motivated because it's a breakthrough.
And then there's also this, even when she reveals to him at the end, we are not sure how he uses this, whether it,
he's ambitious, is what you're telling me. I love it. Perfect. He's ambitious. He hasn't been taken seriously either. So he is desperate for a big story. She's a big story. What is he going to do with it? That's his, and just another way that we could sort of mislead the audience into thinking he's the lead. You guys are good. Seriously, I've totally already copyrighted this. You just didn't see me do it. All right. She doesn't exist. We get to the, I think the end is probably that moment where you're not sure what he's going to do with what he's just learned. She feels like she has someone that she can confide in because he's already found out stuff. So she goes ahead and tells him the rest, right? What is he going to do with that information? If you're watching this one episode and you get to that ending, do you not want to go back and see the rest of the show? I think you do. I think you do. All right, so that's the end. Let's go here. That's called plot. Right over there where there's blank space. He needs to discover it in some unusual way. Can't be as simple as, because I think he needs, by the end, to have learned enough to where she feels like, I might as well tell him everything. Because he can expose me one way or the other. We just don't know the answer to that question until episode 2. Okay, so how does he learn this information? Does he follow her? Does he hire an investigator? Does he...
He's ambitious. He won't be able to follow to afford it. He's worked for a newspaper. He can't afford an investigator.
Well, I think he is an investigator. So he probably does things in desperation to get a big story. That might go beyond the scope of his job morally, ethically. That could be interesting.
I would go back to the way she saved the lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Building a simple machine or something that gives him a clue.
Mm-hmm. He goes to the school. It could also be how he finds out that someone has written maybe anonymous reports about the safety of the buildings around campus.
He would definitely start digging around the incident. He would go visit the scene. He would like look at the records. He would like there would be a clue in the video or something. He would notice it. He would be focused on the video, and he would come across that there was an anonymous warning that this building construction had sound that it got ignored. That's a big story for him, but the mysterious woman is even bigger, especially when he finds out that she might be the author of the story.
Right.
The report.
So she has a uniform for the public library, and her uniform, but
something that
you know, for the public, you know that she works at the library.
Or a university ID or something.
A university ID.
Mm-hmm. He would have totally, maybe he discovered that in the video, and that's how he was able to track her down to her house by her name, which proves to not be, at the end of the day, real. Easier to find rent records than it is to find, like, arrest records, if you're a reporter. Okay, so he goes to the school. There was anonymous reports. Okay, we've also forgotten something pretty big. Does anybody know what it is?
No.
There was a fucking earthquake. How is this affecting everything that's going on in this episode? So, I mean, what is his family like? Like, is there anyone in his life that was injured? What, is he fine? Is it just, is it a smaller earthquake that just happened to, that this campus is older? So it's not like people are running around in the streets while all of this story is going on.
I like the smaller earthquake because the building shouldn't have collapsed with that level of earthquake.
It makes it more specific to her skill set.
Exactly.
It illuminates it in some way.
Yeah, and the reporter would be, I mean, if it's a very big earthquake, I guess the reporter has...
There's other stories to cover, yeah. The great thing about reporters, though, is they look for the smaller stories in the big story, right?
Maybe
so he's looking for the sort of human interest aspect of this earthquake.
Is it a brand new library that was just built? All fresh and clean and new, and boom, it falls.
That should not have fallen down. I love it.
It should not have fallen down.
Love it. There's no way that should have collapsed.
But can't you work in a library being an illegal immigrant?
No.
Maybe she's working under the name of somebody else.
And how could she have decided that this building was unsound and was going to collapse just by looking at it?
No, not just by looking at it, but she would have access to archives and things like that.
She works there.
Where the blueprints are on the wall.
I mean, it could have not falling down, but it created fire in the building, and she could have figured out that something that's electrical system, which is something more along with
It's just one beam that has a zero mode, you know.
It's entirely possible that
unsound beam, she notices in a brand new building.
If this is a new building,
she research and she realizes the problem is much more serious than she realized.
Right.
If she's worked,
Maxwell's
has to be anonymous in her brain.
It could be a fancy dramatic stairwell that falls.
I like more destruction. More destruction, because we want to make this opening really cool. But this is a new library. She worked in the old one. She's been here a while, right? She saw it be built. She watched it every day. All right, there's our logic cop over there. We're going to make sure we answer every single one of your questions.
Maybe the donor wanted a structure.
Every room needs one of you. We all need you.
Maybe the wealthy dude that donated the money to build the library. Maybe his name started with the letter A, and he wanted a structure with a big A in it or something like that. It was vanity that destroyed the library.
Writer's problem. Good luck with that. But yes. Anonymous reports.
It's a good unstable letter. It's too stable.
Okay. Someone mentioned how her name connects to her job and to this house. Is she using someone else's name?
Isn't the standard trick that you take someone who died in infancy and like take their name and identity?
Yeah, and their social security number.
Yeah, something like that.
That's how I got mine. Yes, that is a thing that's done. Would she... Is it someone that... I mean, let's think about the building she lives in. What if there was a woman who ran it, or a tenant that... Again, this is all backstory, but... that passed away, and she was able to sort of take over her life because she had no family. She was the only family this older woman had, and so she was able to sort of slip into that identity. One thing that could get our reporter's attention that no one else would see is that she's 76 fucking years old. Which is fun. I love it.
But so far, I mean,
I haven't found her to be that interesting yet. I mean, you know, she's, and so, you know, she must be hiding something, or something which makes it interesting why we care about this, that she did this good thing, but she was so desperate for money that she was doing bad stuff, and that's what she doesn't want the reporter to know, something to create some tension, something so that we care about her, or... But at the moment, I haven't felt anything for her yet.
That's okay.
She said, like...
That's okay. She's interesting in that she's a mystery, and that we don't know that much about her yet. And we uncover layers through his POV. By the end of this episode, she will be more interesting than anyone else in the show, as we sort of peel back who she is layer by layer. She's our onion. But I think there's something inherently interesting about someone who runs from attention. I mean, that makes her interesting to me as a viewer. She's someone who... could be known. She could elevate herself. Why didn't she want to elevate herself? That makes her interesting. She's a mystery. She's an enigma.
We're actually running out of time, but if you guys want to keep going for another 15 minutes, you can. It depends on what you guys want to do. We're on a roll here.
Well, we can sort of fast forward, which is...
Are we up to episode 2?
I think we're still in the first...
This is the end. This is the end. Our writer's room challenge is to fill in how this reporter uncovers enough truth about her to reach our gorgeous endgame, emotional endgame, where he's left with this question of what to do.
Is this a movie or a series?
This is a series.
This is the pilot for the series.
Yeah, this is the pilot for the series.
I have to see how many episodes we have. We're in the but...
She does this every single day.
22 episodes a year.
Well, he can blow up the video and read her name on the on her ID.
For sure. And I do like that she's taken someone's identity.
Find out. I assume reporters have ways of finding out somebody's address from the name. That was the address of the old woman.
So she's taken someone else's identity.
So who knows her real name?
Nobody yet.
She does. That's what she tells him at the end. That's how we find out who she is. What's your name, is what he asks. And she gives the name. And that's our final image of the episode. She's taken someone else's identity. Also makes her interesting. She's a thief. She's an identity thief. So he's tracked her down. He's discovered everything that she said. These reports he questions her about. Everything tells him that there's more to this woman than meets the eye. That is our goal for next time. But this is a wonderful ending for a show I would love to see, and I would be really interested in what episode 2 is. So good job, everybody. Yeah, there you go. We'll finish it next week. I mean, I can't...
Can we make a more compelling backstory about who the person whose name she takes? Does it really have to be a 76-year-old?
It does not, but I love that her... it's very clear when he does any kind of sort of standard background check that this is not that woman.
Maybe she arrived as an au pair legally, and then assumed...
We have a great backstory!
How did she get into the United States illegally?
No, she's a refugee.
She's a refugee. She's a refugee who was supposed to go home by now.
An illegal refugee.
The people she came over with, she got separated from, and they all ended up in different places because, you know, there are some states in our country that are more welcoming than others.
Well, shall we thank Amy for...
Cool, that was was fun, guys. It was super fun. I should take a picture of this so I know what the story I'm writing next is.